Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
And we're going to go ahead and bring out our members who are going to be sharing about their stories. Really can't make this up stories. It's just been amazing. I've done some of the pre-work on hearing their stories, and even listening was just so inspiring. So first off, Justin Ikara is a Nigerian household-raised Georgia native, and he entered the University of Georgia for undergrad. He earned a degree in biology with a certificate in health disparities and equity. In 2021, Justin embarked on a new chapter, entering class at Morehouse School of Medicine. He has a passion and commitment to serving underserved communities. And outside of his academic pursuits, Justin is a disciple of Jesus Christ. He enjoys mentoring students. You'll see him up here singing with our music ministry. Sports like tennis and pickleball. He stays fit. So we're going to hear from him today. So you've already encouraged him. So we're going to move on to our next attendee here, Dr. Dominique Hines. Dr. Hines was born and raised in Philadelphia. In 2009, she moved to Atlanta to attend her dream institution, Spelman College, where the Spelmanites are. Y'all here? Where Spelmanites? Any Spelmanites in the house? All right. After graduating with magna cum laude honors from Spelman, Dr. Hines spent 2 years serving as an AmeriCorps member in a partnership program with the Georgia Institute of Technology and Atlanta Public Schools. And as an in-home tutor and program director for an organization called Exceeding the Mark, she also took her first trip out of the country in 2014 to serve on the Kingdom Investment Ministry Medical Mission Trip in Jamaica. Jamaicans in the house. She then spent a year in the Master of Science in Medical Sciences program at Morehouse School of Medicine before gaining admission into their MD program in 2016. In May of 2020, she graduated from medical school and became the first doctor in her family. During residency, Dominique co-founded the Resident Advisory Committee, served as the community service co-chair, and won the Resident Teaching Award in 2022. Dr. Hines is now a board-certified pediatrician working as an outpatient pediatrician in the Smyrna and Austell areas. Yes. She's also passionate about nutrition and fitness, about teen health. She is an amazing wife. Right, Nick? That's right. Another Dr. Hines. They're both doctors, so PhD doctor. So let's give it up for this Dr. Hines. And last but not least, Dr. Sarah Tedler, come on out. Dr. Tedler is a physician that specializes in radiology, and she is also an assistant professor at Emory School of Medicine. Dr. Tedler is the associate program director for the Emory
Neuroradiology.
I'm just a preacher, y'all. Fellowship, director for head and neck radiology education, and the chair of the Neuroradiology Clinical Competency Committee. She serves on several national committees with the American Society of Neuroradiology and the American Society of Head and Neck Radiology. Dr. Tedler is a nationally invited speaker and has earned numerous awards for patient care, community service, and leadership. You all give it up for our participants here today. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So, like I said, your Can't Make This Up stories really have been inspiring to me already, and I'm so glad that you get to share that with the church. Justin, tell us a little bit about your story into med school and in your desire to become a doctor.
All right. So, for those who don't know me, I'm Nigerian, born and raised here in Georgia. So, parents, right. So, you know.
A lot of representation today.
Nigerian parents, when they say you want to be a doctor, they're like, oh, great. Love it. We love it. We're going to support it. So we'll fast forward through college, but I knew my medical journey really started once I got the acceptance letter from Morehouse School of Medicine. May 6th, 2021, at like 11:37 p.m., a.m. I still remember the time and everything. And it really just completely changed my life. Like, I went berserk that day. It just brightened my whole time for like 4 or 5 weeks. And that fulfillment that I got from getting that acceptance and knowing that I had this journey of going to medical school, the thing I wanted to do for like years, I knew that there was a deeper fulfillment I can get from somewhere else. That like this, there was more meaning in life than just, you know, this fulfillment of getting to med school. So then I was on a search to figure out what that fulfillment was. And that was through, you know, Jesus and going to church. So I was starting going to local churches here and there and started going to some like men's night sessions. But once I started medical school, Morehouse in July, I was starting to look for mentors. I was interested in orthopedic surgery. And I was emailing folks on the Emory website. I was looking at pictures. They weren't responding for like weeks. And I saw this black man on there with this picture. I'm like, a black man at Emory? So I emailed him. His name was Edward Jackson, Dr. Jackson. And and so I emailed him. He responded back in like 3-4 hours. Everybody else didn't respond. So I'm like, oh, that's great. I can't believe he responded to me. He told me that he was a minister at a church and I should come out and see him that time. And I knew with networking that like you need to just go wherever they say they're available. For real. And I was already on the search of finding a new church home since I just moved to Atlanta. And through that, I started coming to Path. It was outside in the parking lot before this building was made and everything. So that's how I started coming here. And I thank you, Dr. Jackson, for all your mentorship and, you know, all your guidance throughout this and bringing me, you know, closer to God. So that's kind of how like, I started into medical school. I can go into some of the trials and tribulations if you want.
Yeah, we'll go into that in just a moment.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Dr. Hines. Your journey with God and getting into medical school also intertwined. So tell us about that.
It was a little tumultuous too. So just a little backstory about me. So I am first generation college student as well. So I'm the first person in my family to navigate the process of going to college, let alone going to medical school. So I've been type A probably since birth. And I knew I wanted to be a pediatrician since I was in second grade. I've been saying that since second grade. Don't know where it came from, but it was just something God put in my heart early. So through my journey, I've just been like, I just got to get to the next step. So getting into Spelman was like a big win for me. So I was like, I got to get through these 4 years, and then I get into medical school. And y'all heard I graduated from Spelman, magna cum laude, Phi Beta Kappa, which is great. But applying to medical school will humble you. So I took the MCAT the first time, my senior year at Spelman, did not do as well enough as I needed to do to get in. I think I applied that year, didn't get in. So it was the first time where I was like, okay, what's next? So it was a very discouraging time for me, especially like being very independent, having to fund my way through school as well, trying to figure out what to do. So thankfully, I found a position with AmeriCorps. And the organization you mentioned, Exceeding the Mark, was founded by two pediatricians. So they took me in, mentored me, and really helped me navigate the process in that 2 years of preparing myself to go to medical school. One of them went to Morehouse, and she had done a program before getting into the medical program. So she told me to look into those programs. So I did. I applied for the Master's of Science in Medical Sciences program, got into that program. So very excited, because after taking the MCAT twice by myself and not succeeding, I was like, finally, I'll be able to have some help. So for the white coat ceremony for that program, when I was on campus, we ran into Ricardo. Ricardo was a first-year medical student at the time, and Nick knew him, so they exchanged words. Ricardo told him that he was preaching. Well, he didn't tell us he was preaching. He told us to come to church that Sunday. I think it might have been Easter Sunday or something. And so when we got here, we saw that Ricardo was preaching. I don't know what Ricardo preached about, but what I do remember was somebody got baptized that day. And I was in the audience, I was bawling my eyes out. I don't know who that person was, but I was like, I want to feel that way about God. Like, I want to be there. And Nick and I had been together for a few years. We were looking for a church home because we knew we wanted to get married, but we wanted God to be a part of our marriage. So that day, we talked to Ricardo and Daphne, and we're like, what do we need to do? We want to start studying. So we started studying then, went through a very interesting journey in the master's program, and got into medical school the way I tell nobody to do it. Like, it's a very systematic time process, but I feel like God took me through this to be like, nothing is going to keep you away from what I have for you. So literally, I took the MCAT on the last day you could take it to even apply. And even then, you can only apply to certain schools with that late MCAT date. The MCAT day got canceled, which never happens. It snowed in Atlanta, so they canceled the date. I was like, what in the world is going on? So they scheduled it for like 2 weeks later. I got the exact score I was told I needed to get in. The exact same score. I submitted my application the last day you could submit it. I only applied to Morehouse because that's where I wanted to be, and it was one of the only schools I could apply to with that later MCAT date. I found out that I had my interview 2 days before the interview. So I had to scramble around, get my hair done, find a suit, all the things to be ready for my interview. The great thing was I was in the master's program for the year, so a lot of the people I interviewed with I already knew, and they knew me. And then I found out on Spelman's Founders Day, ironically, which just passed, that I got into medical school, but even that wasn't traditional. So I got an email. I was talking to Ashley Marie on the phone, and I got an email about a background check. And I was like, what does this mean? Like, why are they sending me a background check email? She's like, oh, my God, that means you got in. That I'm like, how did you get there? Like, how? So I sent the background check email, like a screenshot to one of my mentors, and she's like, it means what you think it means. So I'm sitting at Morehouse crying my eyes out, like, I can't believe this is real. And then I get home, and I have the acceptance letter, finally. Yeah.
Awesome, amazing, amazing.
And I got baptized that same year. So before starting medical school, I got baptized May 1st.
Awesome, awesome. So Dr. Tedla, you too have a similar experience in that you knew you wanted to be a doctor always, right? I mean, I asked you, when was there a moment, like, was it second grade? And you're like, no, it was always in me.
It was just a knowing, like, I always knew. And, like, when I think back as far as my journey in medicine, that story starts even before I came to be. It starts with my parents. I'm Ethiopian. My parents were born and raised in Ethiopia. And there was a coup in the government. The government was doing mass murders. And my parents, at the time, they didn't know each other, but they were both fighting in the rebellion. It became unsafe for them, and they escaped and met at a refugee camp, got married, and immigrated to San Francisco, and then had me. And being in San Francisco, it was a predominantly Black neighborhood. It was low income. There was a lot of crime. It was dangerous. There was a lot of drugs and violence. Like, I was not allowed to go more than a block away from our home. And being in that environment, God just always planted the seed that I was going to be a doctor, despite what my environment looked like. My parents later divorced, and my mom and my siblings and I, we left the state. And it was a really challenging time for our family. Initially, we were staying with friends, but at some point, we became homeless, and we were staying in a women's shelter. And I will never forget it, because we turned on the faucet and brown water came out. There were bugs, and God just deposited in my spirit that my life will be completely different than this. And I just knew. And it took us a while, but we were able to get back on our feet. And fast forward to college, I'm a first-generation college student. I'm a first-generation college graduate and physician in my family. And even the journey of being in college, I went to a PWI. It was my first experience being around affluent people. I didn't have the financial support for my family to help pay for school, so I was working almost 30 hours a week while being a science major, which is no joke. And so it was tough. It was tough. And during that time, I was very much challenged by not feeling like I was good enough. And despite what I knew God told me, I didn't think I was good enough to get into medical school. So I decided, okay, I'm going to be a chiropractor because it's easier to get into that school. And it was during that time that I had just a revelation with God. I started going to church. I started studying the Bible. And I got baptized and saved, and I gave my life to Christ. And when I tell you, I became a completely different person. Like, I just walked in faith and boldness. I left the school. And that is a difficult thing to tell people, that you're, like, leaving school with no job, no money. And during that period, we were in a recession. Nobody was hiring. Like, the only job I could get was a temp job stuffing envelopes, and I was making less than $9 an hour. Like, when you follow Christ, sometimes things are not going to be easy. And it got so bad that, you know, the money, I barely had enough to pay rent. And with the leftover money, I was deciding, am I going to put gas in my car to go on these job interviews? Because gas hit $5 a gallon in California. Or am I going to go grocery shopping? Like, it was really difficult. But the scripture that I turned to during that time that really helped get me through it was James 1, 2 through 6. And it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. I just was confident that this was not going to be my forever. And I remember going to work, and the people would ask, what are you doing here? And I'm like, this is temporary. You know, and God finally blessed me with a job. Fast forward a couple years, I got into a post-bac graduate program, and it gave early conditional acceptance into medical school, where you take medical school classes for a year, and then they want you to take the MCAT again to get a certain score, and they will admit you. So I did this year, and guys, I excelled. I crushed it. Like, I crushed these classes. Like, I killed it. I killed it. And I'm telling you, for that year, the only thing I did was go to school, study, and went to church. I was in my Bible, like, on my face before God every day. And the outcome of that was my GPA was outstanding. And then I took the MCAT again, and I was off by 2 points for the score that they wanted, so they rejected me. And let me tell you.
Tell us, sister, tell us.
It was like a death, because it's one thing when things don't work out, when you know you weren't living right and you weren't being obedient to God, but I was certain, like, God, you told me to come here. You told me to leave California. I love California, and I went to Philadelphia, and I don't like cold weather. And it was just, I was, like, crushed. And I you can bring all of that to our Father. You can't hide it from Him. And really, the big lesson I learned in that He was teaching me is there is a difference between no and yes, but not right now. And let me tell you, this is such a painful lesson, because at the onset, both of them look and feel as though the answer is no. And in order to get the answer for what it actually is, you really have to go to the Father. And the only way I got out of that is I came to God, and I went to church, and I bowed down, and I got to a place of surrenderance. Like, God, if you do not want this for me anymore, I will let it go. I'll let it go. I'll do something else. But if you want me to keep going, I will keep going. And this is the scripture He led me to. Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And that was all I needed. I doubled down. I took that stupid test again. I went back to California, and I tell you, I didn't have a job. I was broke again, which I was broke for like decades. And so, you know, but I knew what to do. So I didn't have a job, but literally not even a week when I returned to California, I was like, my priority was finding a church. I got in my car, I drove around the neighborhood on a Sunday morning. I saw some people walking into a church. I'm like, all right, we're gonna go in this one. I walked into that one. The service was great. I met this woman there. And at the end of the service, after our conversation, this woman offered me a job.
Seek first the kingdom.
Seek first, exactly. No, I wrote that scripture down. That was, listen. Yeah. Matthew 6:33.
I didn't know that was her scripture. That's her spirit. I didn't know that was her spirit.
The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added onto you. And so let me tell you, like, the job was the exact amount of money that I needed. It was the exact amount of flexibility that I needed to do these other things while I applied. I got into medical school when I applied the following year, and the school was a better school. And do you know these people gave me an $80,000 scholarship?
$80,000. Come on, God.
And the other thing is, I also, because I went to that school, I met this woman who ended up being my mentor, and she was a radiologist. And she is the only reason that I even discovered radiology, and she changed the trajectory of my career. So I graduated medical school, I completed my residency and my fellowship, and it is just a testament that all things are possible through Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Tedler. Thank you so much. You know, you shared about your struggle with disappointment. Mm-hmm. And the grief that comes with that, the loss that comes with that. Justin, as we spoke, you shared about your challenges with anxiety, especially around taking tests, whether it was MCAT or Step 1, the different. Can you share a little bit about that journey with anxiety and how you were able to overcome?
Right. So I'll start with the whole preconceived notion about what I thought about anxiety was. I thought it was a woman thing, honestly. I thought it was a woman thing and that it's just a small thing that everybody kind of deals with, but if it's really debilitating, then that's just, it's made up. So I just had a very warped view of what anxiety really was. I was biting my nails until I was like 23 years old. So I even that sign that I didn't even recognize was anxiety, I was doing my whole life. And like I said, once I got into med school, you know, first 2 years were great, working hard, doing well. Then it came down to this exam again, STEP, another board exam that I had to prepare for. And there was a lot of anxiety behind it because, like I said, at that time I wanted to become an orthopedic surgeon. So I know you can't really miss on the exam. You really gotta, you know, bust your butt and do well on it. So
you explain that a little bit?
Oh, the STEP exam?
Yeah, like why that limits what you can or cannot do for those who don't know.
Right. So it's a national board examination STEP for medical school, and most medical students take it after their second year of medical school from the didactic courses, and this is like I said, national board exam. It's part of your accreditation to get your MD degree, and this is the first step. So this first exam is national. So when you apply to residencies, they will see if you pass, if you failed, if you score low or high. And if you score low or if you fail, residencies that have a competitive application pool won't accept you. So they won't even see your application. You could be the president of the whole school, you can cure cancer, all that. If you don't do well on the exam, they won't even see your application, they'll screen it out. So that's why it's like very important.
So what was your response to that type of pressure?
It wasn't great. I just try to I led myself to burning myself out, just trying to do as much as possible, listening to too many people's perspectives and too much advice from too many people. And I actually went to the ER like during my dedicated, and I feel like it was due to stress because they couldn't really see what the reason was for like inflammation, all that. And I was there for I went there and I went to urgent care two times during my dedicated period. Caused me to push my test date back because I just wasn't prepared at the time. And my practice scores weren't showing what it needed to for me to do well. And so with that, I had to push it back, which means I'm pushing back my whole curriculum of med school. led to a whole slew of additional anxiety and stress. And that's where it became much more debilitating. I thought I had ADHD. I was like, I can't focus anymore. I got a whole psychoanalytical analysis on my neurocognitive functioning. That's a whole bunch. I love that. That was a mouthful. And turns out everything was fine, great, you know, good IQ and all that. So,
but how did that affect you finding out that there wasn't anything physically wrong with you?
That actually made it worse.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, I have ADHD. I was almost accepting it. I was like, okay, I got it. I couldn't control it, right? I can be at peace with things I can't control. But once I realized it wasn't that, I had so much more anxiety. Like, it was really bad. I had to delay it again. I was even taking a practice test at that time because I was just too anxious to see a score that wasn't what I needed to have. And with that, you know, still continue to talk to my therapist and psychiatrist and everything. And, you know, we had to continue pursuing and trying to figure out ways to ameliorate the anxiety. I was finally now accepting, okay, this is an anxiety thing. Mm-hmm. I had to really accept that. And what were you saying?
Oh, and how did that... How did your relationship with God affect your striving to overcome that anxiety? Because, you know, you mentioned to me how there was a point where you, after you became a disciple, you got baptized, that you really started investing in your relationship with God in a deeper way.
Right. So, yeah, I can talk about that. So that same summer, that's when Marty Solomon came here and talked about his book and the Bema podcast. And I knew nothing about that podcast. And so... I bought the book, I got the picture. I wish I sent the picture out, but I got the picture. I didn't know who he was. I'm like, okay, cool. He sounds like he's important and he's doing good things. And so I then checked out the podcast and I just fell in love with it. And this is the time, like I said, this is the pivotal time when I was super, like I had debilitating anxiety. I would have like fevers and break the fever and sweats and just really bad panic attacks, all that. Because I just knew if I fail this exam, I can't do what I want to do for my whole career. This isn't like, oh, you can fail SAT and maybe apply again and go into a different college. You can fail the MCAT once, twice, and then apply, try it again, get a post-bac, and then go to med school. But if you don't do good on this step exam, you cannot apply to careers that you want to apply to. So it's like very permanent, and that really added to my anxiety. So back to the podcast, that's why I really started recognize I need to invest more into the church. I joined the choir and music ministry here. I started joining the small groups on Wednesdays. And I just started to invest more and more into the community path. And that led to me being like, that also really aided my like anxiety and calm down and recognizing that God has a plan for me, that I just needed to really invest into his kingdom and really become a stronger disciple and not just say it, but like really believe it and be proud of it. And throughout that process, I think things just became more clear for me throughout the months. I had to push it again, so I pushed it 3 times. 4 or 5 months of studying and, you know, all that nonsense. But at the end of it, I could talk about how at one point, it was around October, I was like, I'm done. I'm taking this exam in December, no matter what. If I fail God, that means this wasn't for me. I'll have to, you know, change up or figure out a different path. But I'm taking this exam. I'm not pushing it no more. I don't care. And this is before I took any practice tests to know if I'm ready or not. I was just studying and did a prep course and everything, which is great. And so I was able to find a testing strategy instructor who was with Morehouse School of Medicine, and she really helped, invested in me. She recently left a job from a different medical school and came just to help minority students help with practice tests or, you know, prepare for exams. So she changed her whole career to start helping students. She decided to come to Morehouse. At the same time, I was able to then, you know, email her, and she was able to tutor me hours a week for free.
Wow.
Really. Or maybe Morehouse is paying, I don't know. But I wasn't paying.
So you went from going into the test with doubts, fears, anxiety, to going into the last test of the year that you could take.
The last test of the year with hope. And I scheduled the exam. It was like around December 12th. And I was trying to schedule on December 12th, but there was no, because that was the last day you could take it for you to get your score back in 3 weeks and for you to start in January. And I needed to start in January. And so I couldn't find any test days. until it came to December 12th. Couldn't find any test days, but I found one December 16th, which is that Saturday.
Which is even later.
Which is later than the latest that you can get your score back. It literally takes 3 weeks. Some people got it in 2 weeks, but most people get it in 3 weeks. And the school is very strict on that. If you don't get your score back within 2-3 weeks, and it goes past that, you can't start your rotations. You can't continue until you get your score back and it shows a passing score. So I took it. Before then, I was like, okay, even though this is a short period of time and it might not come back, I just have hope. Like, it was just something about that, like, period of investing. I just felt like it could just work out. I think God has me. I think it's come up. Like, it was blind faith. There was no reason. None of my friends got it back that early or got it back in an earlier time. And so I just had blind faith and just led me to, you know, taking it at a, you know, relax, have my, you know, coping mechanisms to calm down and not be all anxious and stressed. And
how long did it take to get your scores back?
It came back in 10 days. 10 days.
And you were able to start.
And I was able to start in January. It was I passed. Right. I passed, came back in 10 days, and.
Thank you for sharing that. Dr. Hines, I want to get some, any lessons from you that you've learned in this journey, and then Dr. Taylor, we'll close out with you.
Yeah, so I feel like the theme for me has been God trying to show me over and over again that He'll take care of me. And I too have struggled a lot with anxiety and imposter syndrome, feeling like I don't belong. Medical school, honestly, I felt very supported. I had, like, the way God set it up for me to have the friend group I had, the community here at church, like, Mosaic was popping when I started. So it was a beautiful time. Then I graduated in 2020, and life started life. So the pandemic happened. So any vision I had of what it was going to look like to finally finish, like, this major thing of becoming a doctor, any idea of what that celebration looked like was completely different. So starting March of 2020, match day, which is like a big day for medical students because you find out where you're going to go to residency, that was canceled. This is like unheard of. That never happens. So we all have to shift our perspective. I graduated from medical school in Ashley Marie's living room. We had our own graduation ceremony with like 20 of our closest friends. So it shifts your whole perspective on what this means. When you don't get the big pomp and circumstance that everybody typically gets. So that was really devastating for a lot of us. In addition to seeing what was happening with the pandemic and all of us entering residency at a time where the people who are supposed to be teaching us don't even know what this virus is. So we have to walk into patient rooms with a virus that's literally killing people, no matter how old you are. And we're supposed to be the experts, the ones that are taking care of people. So, and I'm taking care of children. So I'm seeing children with seeing how that affects them and literally on the cutting edge of medicine. So it was a very challenging, residency is already challenging, but so much unknown in addition to just being a new physician, having all this new responsibility was a lot. And life personally was life in, like, I got in a car accident, my car got totaled. We were thankfully able to buy a house during that time, but there was a period where I just broke. And I'm not used to not being okay. And thankfully, I had my amazing husband because he's the one seeing me. So he had to look at me and say, you can't do this. Like, you need to take time off. And that's really difficult for me, who's always used to doing the hard thing and being the high performer and just muscling through. So that's when I started to recognize how much anxiety and likely depression had a hold on me. And I decided to start inviting God into that because I know that for me, when I feel anxious, I think I can handle it on my own. So I just push through and I lose all the tools. I'm just like, I'm not praying to God. I'm not journaling. I'm not checking in with myself to see how I feel. I got to make it through because that's how I have learned to navigate. But I really started leaning into my relationship with God and tried to see how he can help me navigate through some of the thoughts that I was having. About not feeling good enough and just worrying about things, about how I was gonna be able to know how to take care of this patient or how we were gonna financially make it, because residency and grad school don't pay you that much for how much you work. So that was also another thing. So I started doing the Bible Project series, and that really kind of shifted my perspective on who God is and just understanding that the Bible is a collection of stories of God having encounters with people. And I was like, I want to be one of those people. Like, I want to really experience who God is. And he's shown me enough to show me that I can see his miracles today. So, like, let me try it out and see. And every step of the way, there has been something where God has blown my mind. So I started, like, writing prayers out to God before big things, like, thanking him in advance for what he did. And it has been incredible to see how God has worked. I did that before every step exam, but one of the biggest times recently was one passing my board exam and getting my current.
The exams don't stop, huh?
The exams don't stop. They don't. getting my current job. So I had a lot of anxiety going into this next phase because it was the first time where there was no, like, four-year stint of, like, okay, you got to go to med school 4 years, then you do residency for 3 years. It was just me, and I was the prize now, so I get to choose what I want to do. So I got my first offer from this urgent care job, and they wanted me bad, but I knew it wasn't right for us. So I had to say no before having any other offer. And then they offered it to me again. So I had to say no again. And I'm like, God, I'm trying to be faithful and trust that something better is coming, but I have nothing else right now. And so I started interviewing with WellStar. I got interviewed at a couple places. I think both of us kind of knew it wasn't the best fit. Then this new job surfaced, and it sounded absolutely perfect. Like, I talked to the woman on the phone, and I was like, I don't really know why, but I feel like this is it. And I interviewed. I felt like so at peace about it. I felt like I had been to enough interviews to know, like, the vibes were right. So I just felt like this is where I needed to be. So I started praying so hard to God, like, just let this be it. And then I'm waiting, like, weeks go by. And then I hear that some of my other people are interviewing for the same job. And I'm like, oh my God, like, why are people still being, you know, like, why are they still considering other people, God, when I feel like this is mine? So I'm trying to be locked in. So I write that prayer, thanking God in advance for this being my job and for getting this job. And then I fasted for a few days, and I listened to some podcast where this girl said that she was trying to hear from God more. So she prayed that if she was where God wanted her to be, then she would hear this word. And she had this word that she picked. And I was like, okay, let's try this out and see. I'm really skeptical, though. So I was like, God, if this is it and you really hear me and you have me, the word is butterfly. And I think literally 2 days later, I woke up to go to an ED shift, and I look at my work phone. I get chills still thinking about it. It's like 6 in the morning. I look at my work phone, and I have a random text from somebody I don't know, and it says cold butterfly. And I'm like, you cannot be serious. I don't even know what cold butterfly really means. I'm Googling it. Like, it's not even a group text I'm supposed to be in. Like, and that's the only thing that it says is cold butterfly. So I got chills all day. I'm like, Nick, I don't know what this means. So literally, I work from a shift from 7 to 3. I'm on my way home. I get a call at 5 o'clock from the lead physician at my office offering me the position for the job.
Wow. Can't make this up. That's powerful. That's powerful.
So my scripture was also Matthew 6, the whole thing, 25 through 34. But the last part, don't worry about these things. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of the unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's troubles is enough for today. I'm constantly trying to remember that God has shown me over and over again how much he loves me and he's going to care for me.
Amen. So. Thank you so much.
Dr. Tedler, we'll close out with you. You know, Dr. Hines talked about imposter syndrome. We talked a little bit about identity, mm-hmm. you know, becoming a doctor and even the work culture around that. Can you share a little bit about your lessons in that regard?
Yeah, definitely. So during my journey through medicine, there were two scriptures that really shaped my identity and changing what it was before I was a believer. The first one is Genesis 1, verse 27, and it talks about how we were created in the image of God. The second scripture is Psalms 139, 13 through 18. I won't read it because it's really long, but these scriptures really set the foundation for how I viewed myself and what was important to me and what makes me who I am. And I remember before I moved to Atlanta, I was working at Stanford, and I had a conversation with God, and it became clear to me that I needed to leave because I just wanted a different kind of life for myself. And once again, people thought I was crazy because if you are in academia, leaving like an institution like that, that's like the pinnacle of what people aspire for. And I knew that my identity was in God. It was not in an institution. It was not in an organization. It was not in a title. It was not in a person. It was not in a friendship. It was not in a romantic relationship. So I can move completely differently and not be tied down to these things that become idols for other people. And so God really taught me that your identity cannot be connected to anything that can be taken away. And believers sometimes fall to this because once the thing is away, is taken away, you have a breakdown and you have an identity crisis and you don't know who you are without this thing. And I'm here to tell you that our foundation and our identity is through Christ Jesus. And you can move and live in a totally different way. And so when I looked for a new job, I'm not even going to say I looked, y'all, because when I tell you it was like the floodgates were open, like I had job opportunities coming in left and right. One of the jobs, the chair contacted me because he heard about me from someone at that institution, and we had a 30-minute conversation. He said, we don't actually have a job here, but let me call the business office to see what is possible. He was like, I will get back to you in 1 week. This person called me back the next day, offered me a job, and I'm going to tell you, y'all, I'm expensive. I'm not coming for nothing. So, like, correct. Y'all heard my hardship. I deserve it. And, you know, and even with that, I think that was just like a God flex. I didn't even take that job because God was leading me to something else. So it's not even, it's important that we're not even seduced to like having a certain amount of money or an income or any of that. God led me to Emory, and it's just been amazing. And I just want to I know I said this before, but really, I think we should walk in boldness and in faith and not be discouraged, because these hardships that we've all shared are part of every believer's story. And Jesus said, in this life, you will have trouble, but take heart, because he has overcome them all.
Amen, amen. Let's give it up for all of our panelists. Thank you all so much. Thank you all so much. I told you it was going to be good. I told you it was going to be good. At this time, we're going to go ahead and take communion together. If you do not have a communion packet, go ahead and raise your hand. Our host team will get it to you. And this is just an opportunity to remember Jesus. And I think it's just so fitting to remember Christ, especially through the challenges. Especially through the challenges and how he's been there for us. Let's go ahead and pray to God. Father, we thank you so much for all of these amazing stories, God. It just builds our faith so much to know how you are in all of the details of our lives, God. And I know they've gone through some challenging times, but God, I'm grateful that you've been there with them through it, and they're able to share that with us, God, to inspire us to know that you got us. You got us. No matter what comes our way, you got us. And we know that's only possible through Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. And right now, we just celebrate him. We celebrate him, his body that was broken for us, his blood that was shed for us, and the fact that he did rise again, God, to new life and allows us the opportunity to do the same, Father. God, I pray you be with all of us as we continue on in our journey, God, to glorify you in every way we can. God, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.